I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
All right, you guys, welcome to the end of the regular season edition of the Temple of Hoop podcast, part one at least. Awards edition.
Yes, sir.
Bro Kings is here, just me and him. What's going on, my guy?
Yeah, man, just getting back from this conference, chilling, unwinding. Let's go get into these, you know, selections. And I'm sure we're going to make some folks mad as always, but we're going to get into our selections.
I saw the pictures. Is that the new style, you young cat tag with the tie only halfway down? I was like, that must be different. I'm from the old school. My tie goes down to the belt buckle.
Nah. See, I want my ties as long. One of them, when I tied it better, was shorter. So I just rocked it because it was shorter. Okay. I was like, it don't matter. You know, but I'm gonna make it longer though. The next one,
I know I'm out the loop fashion wise, so I had to. All right, man, you ready to just hop right into this and make the people mad, man?
Let's go ahead and do it, man.
Let's go. Let's start out with rookie of the year. So I'll give we'll give our top three finalists for each award, and then for the rookie, a defensive player of the year, and MVP. Along with those, we'll give our first team and second team after we do the awards. So rookie of the year, but my three finalists were Mobley, Cade, and Scottie Barnes. That was my three finalists for rookie of the year. I have been a big Cade guy from jump. To me, he's still the best player, but just body of work. I had to go Mobley. It's been a long time looking at the metrics and impact. We have not seen a rookie impact the game defensively at that level in a long time.
Absolutely not.
So that's kind of where it went for me. I do think Cade is the best player, and Jalen Green is going to be the second best player. I think those two have offensive gifts that the rest of the class doesn't have. But the actual impact that Mobley had on the defensive side of the ball as a rookie, it was just too big for me to deny. And then you can see how much they missed him in a little bit of time that he missed. They just kind of fell off a cliff with him, and along with Jared Allen, of course, just missed extended time. So those are my three finalists. I ended up going with Mobley for rookie of the year.
Yeah, for rookie of the year, for me, I'm actually going to shock you because I know I'm a Mobley guy. I have Mobley as the best in the draft. But honestly, I think all things considered, especially with how the Raptors finished, I went with Scottie.
I'm not mad.
He can get his own bucket. He can play. He can defend. He can score in a variety of ways. Working on improving just his overall game. And he's just been playing such a consistent pace all year. Been impacting winning on both ends of the floor. And I just think with the way the Raptors finished and how important he was in comparison to how Cleveland fell off, I had to lean with Scottie on this one.
Man, that's fine. Like, it was all like, this is not one of the things I'm going to push back on. I think we both discussed how generational this rookie class was. I can't remember a rookie class where all 10 top 10 picks, every last one of them showed inklings of being, you know, positive impact basketball players this early, along with some later picks, such as, you know, Herb Jones is one of them, Duarte is one of them. It's a bunch of late, even the mid-lotto guys, even the second-round picks like AO in Chicago. It's a bunch of guys in this draft who have shown they can be plus NBA players and a couple of superstars at the top, in my opinion. Three, if you want to add in Mobley. So this is a generational rookie class, in my opinion. So these awards definitely were tough. So no pushback on Scottie there. The Raptors are honestly – probably after the Lakers and the Pelicans, probably one of my favorite teams to watch just because of, You know, Nick Nurse is a math scientist. I love the positionless basketball. They got Siakam out there at center a lot of the time. They switching everything, scrambling. I kind of love to watch that. It's like a college team in a way. So I'm not mad at that pick. Moving on to my first team all-rookie, I ended up settling on Mobley, Scottie Barnes, Cade, Jaylen. And the last spot was tough for me, but I ended up going Josh Giddey for that last spot on my first team all-rookie. On my second team, I went Wagner, Herb Jones, off-night himself, Davion Mitchell, Kuminga, and Bones Highland. It felt rough leaving AO off, but he just really hit a wall the last, you know, 25 or 30 games after a hot start. So I went with Bones over AO narrowly for that last spot on my second team all-rookie. So go for it, bro.
Yeah, for me, my first team all-rookie, JG, you know, Jalen Green, Cade, I went Scottie, Mobley. But I went with Wagner. I think Wagner was playing at a pretty consistent level for most of the year in terms of just his impact, you know, helping space the floor with his size, you know, just playing and just being able to be versatile at his size for the Orlando was helped Orlando's offense, you know, have moments where it looked pretty productive or it has moments of flashes. When I would watch Orlando, you know, I like the archetype that Wagner has and just, you know, his ability to project, you know, as a real threat, especially shooting wise. So I went with him. And then second team for me, I went with I went with Herb Jones. Obviously, he's been a defensive nightmare for all the year. You could argue him to be an all-defensive team. I went with Giddey, obviously. His all-around game is crazy. Highland, he's been hot. I went with Kuminga. Obviously, Kuminga has just been a great player. And, you know, this was tough for the last guard spot. I went with Dorte.
Okay.
You know, just, again, scoring chops is pretty good. And he was somewhat productive for a rookie, so I went with him, at least scoring wise.
All right, so the only difference we have is you had Giddey on second team, Wagner on first team, and we have the same team, but instead of Davion Mitchell, you went with Duarte, right?
Yeah.
So okay, we're not too off on that. I thought after they traded Tyrese, after they traded Haliburton, I thought Davion really blossomed. So that's kind of where I went with that. And then obviously the defense speaks for himself at the guard spot. It's just pretty amazing. But
right.
Duarte was pretty good. I think Duarte and Herb Jones, they are going to make people think twice about pushing cats down a draft was just because they're 23 opposed to 19.
Right.
But those guys came in and were effective players, you know, from the jump. So I think those two are going to shift how people look at the draft going forward, because I think there's still something to be said about seniors having a little bit of just readiness from a body perspective, you know, they're grown men. So I think they might shift how that goes.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Moving on, coach of the year, my final three, my three were Ty Lue. Obviously, body work speaks for itself. Best player, didn't suit up, kept him at or above 500 all year, even finished above, I believe, looking at it right now. Yep, 42-40, finished above without their best player. Stepping on the floor, Paul George missed about more than half the year or somewhere around there. kept them above water in a hellacious Western Conference. You know, I think they're going to be hell in that playing game with your boy, with your Minnesota boy. That's probably the playing game I'm most excited to watch. We're going to break those down later on. So Ty Lewis, my third. My second was Spoelstra. I think there's just something to be said. When you don't have a guy that you will call a superstar and you finish number one in your conference, probably the tougher conference this year, top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
I think that says something about your system, what you put on the floor defensively. And to have a defense that good when you're playing Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson that many minutes, I think that speaks to your to your coaching chops. And then lastly, I had to go with Jenkins, man. You missed your best player that many games and actually play better without him. I think that speaks to, you know, the system, a culture that you've created over the course of some years. So I ended up going with Taylor Jenkins as the coach of the year for me.
Yeah, that's exactly who my coach of the year was. It's pretty clear what he got going over there. I mean, it's for them to be able to be successful with and without Ja, it's just a testament to what he's the culture and just the coaching that he's, you know, instilled over there with those guys in the locker room, on the court with his adjustments, making sure he can get every type of player on his roster in the right spots for them to succeed. It's not just focusing on one certain guy or, you know, a handful of guys. It's like, how can I get the best out of everybody? Real coach, elite coaching job from him from start to finish. My second pick would be obviously Coach Bo to be number one in the tough East, you know, without that star. I mean, that's he's a premier all-time coach. That's just what he does at this point. It's what kind of, I think the fact that it's expected from him kind of hinders
right.
how people actually like look at what he actually does. Cause I mean, he makes magic with a lot of guys who just clunky fits who, you know, it's like, man, how can this work? And he just makes it work. So, man, excellent job. And then obviously
the DHO wizard.
Yeah. The DHO wizard. And obviously the, you know, the driving kick four out, you know, get my super max out my star player stats. The guru himself, Ty Lue, you know, he's going to make sure his best guys who are successful with the ball in their hands, they thrive. Reggie Jackson thrive. Paul George thrive. You know what I mean? Even when Mark Morris gets his look, he's thriving. Like, that's just what Ty Lue does. Didn't matter who was there. They were just competing every night. So, shout out to Ty Lue. That's my third. And that's, yeah. So, you know, Jenkins is, for me, the story of Memphis continues.
Right.
I mean, it's only fitting.
I did research, man. And I know the Lakers like to keep it in the house real quick. We don't talk about those Bun for 30 seconds. I'm just saying, man. Bud has a good coaching tree. He was with Bud for 7 years, bro. Followed him for a year to Milwaukee. I'm just saying, Lakers. Darvin Ham, man. Ham is right there.
You know Lakers don't do their homework, bro.
I know. I'm just saying. All right. Moving on. Let's go six, man. Honestly, this was probably the easiest one for me. Because when you do something historical, I just give it to that guy. For the fourth time in NBA history, a sixth man averaged 20 points a game.
Yeah, it's easy.
That was Tyler Hero. You know, the guys I was looking at, you know, Clarkson, obviously year to year, his efficiency was down all around. Honestly, you're going to laugh at this. I was looking at Kevin Love.
Kevin Love was balling, though.
That's what I'm saying. Kevin Love. Balling. And then your boy Oubre had a really good bounce back year in Charlotte, excuse me. But I just think Hero, you average 21 off the bench, fourth time in NBA history it's ever been done. Lou did it twice. Forgot Jamal Crawford, I want to say, and then this is Hero's the fourth time ever in NBA history. So I think he's pretty much the runaway sixth man of the year. I'm sure it won't be unanimous because some writer is going to be biased to their own guy, but. It's pretty clear cut who the sixth man of the year is to me.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna have no complaints from me. Tyler Hero, he's been shooting really well. He's expanded his game this year.
Yeah, it's a 5.5 point jump in scoring with efficiency going up too.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing else that need to be said. I mean, this guy can create for himself. He can get it off the you know, off the bounce, and he can score off the catch and shoots off other guys to help other guys, you know, be a proficient with the ball in their hands. So he, you know, it's pretty clear. Like, it wasn't really a debate. Kevin Love though is a nice story, especially considering what he was looking like in years prior. For so for him to be productive this year like that, it's a nice little story for him. But Tyler Hero just runaway sixth man of the year.
Right. All right. Yeah, we went through that pretty quickly. Most improved player. This was a kind of a tough one for me. Yeah. It's always tough. It kind of ranges everywhere. I ended up selling my third was Miles Bridges. Just a huge kind of slacked off a little bit after a superstar start. Did finish at 20-7 on 50, 33, 80 shooting splits. He was up there. My second was honestly it was DeJounte Murray. Was my second, just you know, being that leadership role, almost nearly averaged a triple double. He nearly averaged a triple double, 21, 9, and 8. That's pretty crazy to me. On very good efficiency and was an elite defender on top
of that. That's what I was going to say. He was elite defense, man.
So he was number two. Number one, I just kind of went with Darius Garland, and here's my explanation for that. So. What the Cavaliers give up when they play that big lineup to maximize their defense is the spacing on offense is a wreck. And for Garland to navigate that and kind of be their engine on offense to make up for that and end up at 21-8 on, 46-38 shooting and turn his defense up a notch, even though he did have more rim protection behind him, but it allowed him to become a more aggressive and better defender. So I ended up selling on Garland kind of because of the situation that he's forced to carry a little bit more offensively because of the bad spacing they have to, but it's kind of a trade-off because their defense is elite when everybody's there. So I went with Garland. Any of those three, I'm not pushing back, but I'll see what you say. But those are the three I settled on, and I ended up going with Darius Garland as my MIP.
Yeah, I might shock you with my third. I got Jordan Poole, my third, or most improved. Second, I got Miles Bridges, obviously. Yeah, it's a great year. I mean, even though he kind of tailed off then, but he had a great jump. Yeah. But first, it's kind of be shocking. I mean, I don't know if this is a pick that most people that's going to be, most people's go-to, but I think it makes sense for me. I got John Morant
as
the most improved player of the year. I mean, if you look at the jump he took from a scoring standpoint, from an efficiency standpoint, and then from a leadership standpoint, obviously how the jump that Memphis took, I think, especially because he's not going to get, MVP love, and stuff like that. I think it's just because of the jumps he took, I think it makes sense that he gets an award for this year. But I don't think the voters will let him go this year without an award that he qualifies for. And I just think based off Memphis' story, based off how he's improved and how he's ascended, I just think it makes the most sense for him to get most improved player of the year.
Right. I'm not mad at that. I think the closest, that reminds me when T-Mac made that big jump, and he was actually MVP candidate, but they gave him MIP. It's kind of similar to that. Yeah, I'm not mad at the Ja Morant selection. I think the biggest thing for me from Ja is he actually tried on defense this year. Still wasn't great.
Right.
He actually tried, which is kind of what, you kind of at least want to ask for from your star, that they give an effort on that end. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be great. But if you try as the best player, I think it's a good omen, for your team as far as its aspirations of winning goes. So I'm not mad at the Ja Morant pick. I could definitely see it happening, honestly. So we'll see what happens with that one. All right. Let's get interesting. Defensive player of the year.
I know which one I'm going with that one.
All right. So my finalists, here's my three. I threw Marcus Smart in there. I think best defense in the league. He takes on way bigger matchups for the sake of that team. Guards a lot of wings, shuts down guards. Had to give him his credit. My number two was Mikal Bridges, one of the best wing defenders that starts in the NBA. Kind of sets the tone for that team defensively, eliminates a lot of guys. And my number one, I had to go with the Frenchman, man. Just the impact. The impact was just crazy. Even though the team kind of fell off, we kind of saw this year that he is kind of the glue. Without him, it all falls apart. He's covering up for a lot of terrible defenders. So I ended up settling on Rudy Gobert as my defensive player of the year. He's just going to have that crazy resume. as one of the premier defenders of this era, you know, behind Draymond, of course, you know. So that's what I settled on.
Yeah, for me, you know, I kind of went with those. I think I took an interesting approach. I think number three for me, I took JJJ.
Jaren Jackson. He was four for me, so I was not too. He was four for me. He was not.
I took Jaren Jackson Jr. His versatility been crazy, or his rim protection been crazy.
Leading shot blocker in NBA, right?
Yep. Inside, outside defense. I had to go with him. Number three, number two, the Frenchman, generational defender. I think that's generational. I mean, if you want to say, oh, all he does is drop, generational drop coverage defender, generational rim protector. I think that's undeniable. But number one, I think he was turning the tide on the media, and I think he actually gets it. I got Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart has been flirting with that Defensive Player of the Year award for a few years now. Either injury or, you know, a rough finishes for Boston kind of affects his standing. But I think with this year, with how they had on that crazy hot run, they're the best defense in the NBA, you know, straight clamps every night, takes on a lot of tough assignments, a glue guy, does all the little things on defense. I think this is the year for Marcus Smart. We get perimeter guy to finally win. I think they also get some Rudy fatigue.
My guy had Gary Payton campaigning for him. That's big right there.
Yeah, he has a lot of media guys on him right now.
Gary was the last guard to do it, right? Or was MJ after that? No, Gary was the last guard to do it, right?
I think for the DPOI, yeah, it was Gary. I know Gary won at a PG. Yeah. I don't think any other guard won it since.
I think we see Kawhi boards a three, but yeah.
Yeah, and I should say wing. I think it's been all wings and centers.
Yeah. Right. So my first team all defense, Rudy, Mikal, Triple J, Marcus Smart, and Bam Adebayo was my first team all defense. Bam may not make it because of the games played minimum. I think he was flirting with that when I was doing my research. Second team, Giannis, Time Lord, Herb Jones, Matisse, Ty Bull, and DeJounte Murray was my second team. Matisse, man, when you shoot that poorly and still able to steal 28 minutes a game on the NBA floor, and that means you're doing some generational defending. Yeah. We're going to get into that more. They ended up drawing Toronto. He cannot play in games 3 and 4, which is going to suck for the Sixers. And we'll get more into that when we do our playoff preview episode later this week. But that's a big L for them if they end up losing one of those first two games. Those are my two defensive teams. What you got?
Yeah, my first team all defense, I got Smart, I got Bridges, I got Giannis, I got Triple J, and I got Gobert.
Okay.
And then for my second team, I got DeJounte for sure. I got Thibault, I got Tatum, I got Time Lord Rob Will, and I got to go with FVV. FVV,
okay,
man.
Okay,
he's been flirting with that defensive selection. Tough nose defender, smart defender. Nurse. It's the reason why Nurse trusts him at his size on the floor so often. I mean, he's just the story of Fred VanVleet. It makes sense why he's such a good defender. I mean, this guy, he's just tough. He's gonna grind on both ends. He's not gonna doubt himself regardless of his size or regardless of who he's going up against. And he's just very smart as a defender. So gotta go with FEV. He's been playing great defense for recently too. Like he could have made it, I think, last year too. So I gotta go with FEV.
Right. I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at that at all. I gotta ask a question because there were kind of inklings that this was gonna be the first time two rookies made an all defensive team. People in the media were campaigning for Herb Jones and Evan Mobley. How close did those two come on your list? Just curious.
I mean, I had those two guys right there.
Okay.
I had them right there with Bam. It was them two and Bam that I had on next up. So they were close, man. They were close.
All right, and the grand finale, last awards topic, MVP. We'll do MVP first, and then we'll go give our all NBA teams. Sure, want to set the timeline on fire. So my final three, I think we've brushed over this in several different episodes leading up to this. I think it was the big three. Giannis, Embiid, and Joker were my final three. While we were talking through the episode, I was still in my head about who to give it to be honest with you. And I am going to settle on – I'll give it to Joker because he stayed out of the play. And again, when it's that close between three guys, I tend to look at the variables. I think that, you know, Giannis is a far superior defender of the three. You know, Jokic took a big step in that, in the positive that direction. I still think Giannis is the guy. I think Embiid may have carried a lot of the, probably the, a lot of offensive weight dealing with what he was dealing with, missing Simmons until they made that trade to get Harden. I just think Joker, you know, missing two max players. Just the first the guy to have that three, was it 2,000, 1,000, 1,000 season? First guy in NBA history?
Yeah.
Yeah, 2,000, 1,000, 1,000 season, 2,000 points, 1,000 rebounds, 1,000 assists. Again, when you do something historical like that, I kind of lean your way. And I think he's going to win back-to-back MVPs, and I'm not mad at it. Like I said, any of those three guys win it, you won't see any pushback from me. So that's where when I decided on Joker is the MVP, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I went back and forth. You know, I try to think of ways that, you know, Giannis would probably win it and Embiid, but when the records are that close,
it is.
And the stats is the way it is, the metrics are the way it is for Joker, you just got to be like, yeah. You know what I mean? You just got to be like, yeah. And that's the MVP. And, you know, and this is for me, somebody who's made a case for other people. Like, I just can't take it from Joker, bro. He never fell off with this team. 49 wins, almost got 50 wins. Like, you got to tip your hat, bro.
That's what it is at this point. You got to tip your hat. And I think we both talk about how scary that team could be if Joker playing at this level, if they ever get those other two guys, you know, upright at the same time, man. So we'll see how they look next year. Now, time to piss the people off. You want to go first? You want me to go first?
Go who hurts, bruh. I'll go right after you.
Here we go. All right. So I'm going to do my three. You'll do your three, and then we'll talk about where we differed and what was the conversation, what was the thought in your head about, you know, that. So my first team All-NBA, I went with the knowledge that they allowed Embiid and Joker to be forwards. So first team All-NBA for me was Joker, Embiid, Giannis, Devin Booker, and Luka. Second team for me was Kat, Jason Tatum, Kevin Durant, Ja Morant, and Steph Curry. Third team, I went Rudy, Siakam, Jimmy Butler, Trae Young, and the point guard, Chris Paul, unfortunately. But, you know, he ended up playing 65 games. I thought he missed more time than that. And just his impact, we look at the metrics and the eye test, it's there, man. As much as we root on his downfall, I root on his downfall.
you got to give it to him.
I know the impact was there. So Trae and Chris Paul, that was the toughest. But I thought second half of the season, man, Trae was kind of incredible. I think it went under the radar from where Atlanta had started. There was a question about whether they were going to make the play-in. And they went on that mad rush, and a lot of it was just him being just absolutely spectacular. So
I think it was said that Trae Young led the league in total assists and total points, correct?
That's what I'm saying, yeah, because he was
– because he played the most games, yeah.
So, yeah, man, so I settled on Trae and Chris Paul as the third team guards. Here's the thing. I was arguing about LeBron. He was probably my toughest omission. But I just, you know, if your team's not in the top 10, let alone 8, it's hard for me to throw a guy in there, even though I'll say he was more than worthy with the scoring and efficiency that he put out there. It's just the games missed. And then the overall, you know, it's individual award, but I think team success is somewhat of a factor but he's probably my last omission, to be honest. So that's where I ended. Kings, take it away.
You know what you just said? What you just said right there at the end. I do have to remove LeBron. I have LeBron in my third team, but the guy I removed him for, I can't do it based on how that team finished. It's disrespectful to team success for me to have LeBron there, unfortunately. I think I have to agree. But I'll go ahead and say it now. My first team, all NBA, I mean, he's pretty the same with me. You got the three MVPs, Giannis, Embiid, Jokic, and then you have Luka and Book. Luka's monster statistical season again.
Man.
The minute he comes into season in shape, he'll probably win an MVP. second team, all NBA, I got Ja, Curry, I got Tatum, I got KD, and I got my boy Towns in the second team. Towns. Shout out Cat. Yep, sir. Shout out Cat.
We have the exact same second team.
And yep, shout out Cat. And then third, I got CP3, Young, DeRozan, Gobert. I had LeBron, but because I was conflicted with these two, your little speech, I have to remove LeBron for Adebayo. You have to reward winning, man.
Okay.
You have to reward winning.
All right. So we have the same exact team, first two teams. You have Bam instead of Pascal Siakam, and you have DeRozan instead of Jimmy.
Yeah,
I actually should have put DeRozan there instead of Jimmy too, but I'm gonna stand on what I said. But I agree with you putting DeRozan over Jimmy. I just felt like with you, I feel like the first seed just had to have somebody.
You have to have somebody. That's why I had to take out, because I was thinking, I was like, bro, I can't do that. You can't do that,
man. I feel like the first seed has to have an all NBA guy. That's kind of what my thing was. LeBron was the last omission for me. It was tough. Cat averaged 30. It was just that team, man, just looked so inspired, uninspired night to night.
And then you see how they look when they play just the young kids.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, bro. We can't, I get, you know me, I'm LeBron, legacy, chasing Kareem, all that, but you still have to respect the game, bro. Like that team was unwatchable. Sorry, bro.
Right. All right, man. So we're looking forward to the feedback on that last 4 minutes. That should be fun. All right, man. So we got our awards out the way. We have our MVP picks, all the teams. Let's break down these playing games. Let's just do them in order. The first one that's going to be played is the Cavaliers and Nets. That is Tuesday. Who do you like in that game to get the seventh seed? Let's just start with that.
You know, I think that's the actual toss-up. I think a lot of people are leaning with the Nets. I think that's a toss-up. That's a toss-up game. Man, that's a toss-up game. I'm not going to lie. I honestly don't know who I'm going to pick with this one. I think because the Cavs are young, I think I'll take the Nets off the experience factor.
Yeah, I just think I have to see who suits up for Cleveland before I
pick. That's another thing, too, who's going to be out there.
Yeah, but
I don't think Allen going to be out there, right?
No, I doubt it.
Yeah,
I'm going to pick Brooklyn just because of the experience. And I think KD has a monster game. And I think they just don't want to take a chance and play it in a one-off. They want to avoid the winner-go-home situation. I think the experience carries them through. If the Cavs suit everybody up, that changes things for me. But I just don't think Jared Allen's going to play.
Yeah, me neither.
So we'll see what happens. But I'm going to go with the Nets in that one. The second part of that back-to-back is your boys, Timberwolves. Season, I got to respect you because I feel
it's not even a question with me. You already know who I'm rocking with. That's not
my next thing. I got to give you your respect because I was advocating for a game threshold. I do not think a team with that much of a gap between the next team should be playing in a playing game. But you was like, if they are, my guys are who they think they are. They win the game. So I respect that. I'm gonna go with your boys, man. I'm gonna go with your boys. I think they're Clippers have much more experience, but yeah, I think you guys are just a better basketball team.
Yeah,
you guys are a better basketball team, more talent. I think Kat needs to dominate Hardenstein and Zubac.
I think he will.
I think that's kind of where it needs to happen. I'm expecting Ty Lue to be in his Ty Lue bag in a one game off, throwing the whole survival at this point. So throwing the whole bag of tricks for the whole game. So I am I'm looking forward. That's the game I'm most excited for to watch the playing. And that's going to be probably the best game, in my opinion. That next day, the first game is going to be Hornets and Hawks. Who you got?
That's another toss-up game.
That one really is. They finished with the same exact record. The game's in Atlanta because of a tiebreaker. So just
I think you got to go with the Hawks just because, you know, Trey's going to slow the game down. He's going to make it a I don't even know if he'll necessarily slow the game down, but more he'll definitely make a possession-by-possession battle. Because, you know, he likes to dictate the pace with his heliocentric ball. And I don't know if the Hornets have the defenders to be able to stop that a type of attack from Atlanta. I think Atlanta will have enough length to throw and bother LaMelo, to bother Bridges. I mean, if the Hornets get up and down, though, you know, it's not going to matter. Atlanta's not going to defend that. But I think it depends on the pace of the game. I think if the Hornets make this an up-and-down game, I definitely can see the Hornets coming out. I think Trae Young will make it a possession-by-possession game. He's been in these type of do-or-die environments, so I think he'll be able to dictate the pace of the game and be able to come out with a win for Atlanta.
Right. This is a weird one for me because I think I've told you this before. I dug deep into the Hornets. They literally will beat anybody in the league and lose to anybody in the league.
Yeah, that's so it depends on their pace. Like, that's how they play. Like, really.
That is the biggest Jekyll and Hyde team in the NBA. It literally depends which team is going to show up. So that's all. Like, that's which Hornets team shows up. The good version will beat Atlanta. The bad version, Atlanta will dub them. So it depends. I'm definitely going to tune in. LaMelo and Trey is going to be must-see TV in a do-or-die situation. I think it's going to be big fun, and I'm going to go with Big Baller Brand, baby. I'm going to go with BB Triple Bs. So I'm going to go with the Hornets just because I think they have a lot more offense independent of their guy. You know, Bridges, Rozier, PJ Washington, guys like that. They can contribute a little more than Trey will. But Trey, like you said, is just a maestro in terms of controlling the basketball game. I think, you know, Luka, Trey, LeBron, those guys just know how to control the tempo of a basketball game. So I think, you know, that will be on full display in that situation. Trey's going to take full control. This last game was interesting because both star players are nursing injuries. DeJounte still clearly dealing with the effects of whatever sickness he had. It wasn't COVID. He was really sick. I think he lost a bunch of weight, he tweeted. He missed 5 games, came back today, played 32 minutes, was 5 of 15, finished with 17, 7-1, but clearly was not himself, trying to get something under his weight. They do have 3 days off, so we'll see. Ingram has not played in a while, tweaked his hamstring a while ago, tried to come back, still dealing with ill effects of that. We don't know. But on paper, I think with the stars hindered for the Pelicans, this is why you traded for CJ McCollum. For this is what you want to make a push to the playoffs. We're tired of just the we're building stage. CJ's got to get you on the other end. You know what Pop stands for in a one game off. They did lose last year to Memphis, so we'll see. But I just think New Orleans has better talent, you know, on their team. And the games in New Orleans is going to be a madhouse there too.
Yeah, I mean that's for me, that's pretty much it. New Orleans has more talent. DeJounte is going to be compromised. And it's just going to come down to CJ and B.I. It's just too much scoring, too much offense. Herb Jones is going to do what Herb Jones does. And they're just going to overwhelm the Spurs over the course of the game. That's just what it's going to come down to. I think that's a win for them. And I think they're going to that game between them and the Clippers, because that's why I anticipate is going to be really good. But I think at least against the Spurs, I got the Pelicans. I got the Pelicans comfortably. That's what I got.
Okay. You got the Pelicans comfortably, huh? Yeah. Yep. I don't know, man. Those Spurs games were, for some reason, Pop has them in the chokehold. It's always a struggle, except for that one blowout. Pop has them in the seventh circle of hell. anyway, this was our award show. Wednesday, we are doing our playoff preview live on Green Room. That should be fun. Right after that second play-in game is done, we'll preview the one-and-done games, and then each we'll do our own bracket. We'll go through it. We'll take a little bit of feedback. After, you can yell at us, holler at us about who you think our NBA champion is going to be. That should be fun. Make sure you follow us, Kingsbro, on Twitter. Myself, JJMaples55_MST. Follow the pod, subscribe, like it. We appreciate all support. Numbers are booming on the pod, man. That's lovely. We thank you, thank you, thank you. Cannot express how appreciative we are to have you guys tapping in every week and giving us feedback and really being, you know, interacting with us about this little thing we started, man. So we love that. You guys be safe, and we will see you Wednesday live.
Yes, sir. Peace, y'all.